You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, good evening, everybody. We welcome you, one and all, right here on The Fan. Oh, yeah, baby. It is a Wednesday evening in the nation's capital and beyond. It looks like it's about to pour, and you're stuck with the old rooster. They occasionally still let the rooster out of the cage, like they did on Monday morning when filling in for the Junkies tonight, because the Nationals are off, and I'll next be on after tonight, Saturday morning, so away we go. Week one of the NFL season is upon us. Tomorrow night, man, NFL regular season football. And because there was no preseason football, any kind of football is going to look good. Even if it's bad football or sloppy football or whatever kind of football, it is going to feel good. It is going to taste good. It is going to look good. It is going to be really, really, really cool to see NFL football back after all of this time. Remember, we have not seen a football game since what? Early February, right? When the Chiefs completed the comeback in the Super Bowl over the San Francisco 49ers. And that, of course, means the Washington football team is going to take on the Philadelphia Eagles at FedEx Field on Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to getting back to FedEx, something that doesn't get said around here very often. But I haven't been at a game in a couple of years because I've been strapped to the studio doing the post-game show. We got a little bit of a different look for you here on the station this weekend. I think Pete Medhurst and Logan Paulson are going to be doing some post-game work for you. I'm going to be out at FedEx Field, so I'll probably pop on with those guys on the pre- and post-game show and whatever, and you'll be hearing me doing some updates for CBS Sports Radio during the game as well. So it's going to be interesting to be out there in front of, well, no fans. That's right, no fans, as we all know. But tomorrow night it gets started for real with Houston and Kansas City, rematch of the postseason game where, you know, quite honestly, Houston what was up 24-0, I think it was 21-0, 24-0, I think it was 24-0, and you know, ultimately blew it. And all of a sudden, Bill O'Brien became just a horrible, horrible, horrible coach and a horrible man and a horrible general manager. Just like Jason Garrett was. And, you know, we just continue to blame the coach for everything that goes wrong instead of blaming the players, who a lot of times are really at fault. Nevertheless, we'll move on from that. You have Houston and Kansas City tomorrow night. We'll join that game in progress here on The Fan after the Nationals and Braves coverage rounds wraps up, I should say. Kind of a rare Wednesday day off for the old ball club. They'll have a ton of days off, though, over the next week or so if no games get canceled. It's just an absurd schedule tonight, and I think Monday and Thursday as well, I believe. And then they play like five games in like 2.5 days down in Miami, and sandwiched in between that is two games against Tampa Bay, who they just swept. We'll talk a little Nationals baseball a little bit later on as well. I've been so locked into the football, maybe I missed this. I haven't heard a damn thing about the Capitals head coaching search. Have you? That's kind of weird, right? I haven't heard a damn thing. Maybe I've missed it, but I think I have, you know, the ability to kind of track something like that. If big news came up and I haven't heard a damn thing. It just got me thinking about it. Like, hey, that's right. They fired Todd Reirden 2 weeks ago. We haven't heard anything, nothing. It would be Capital style to just, like, you know, come out tomorrow morning with a press release at 9 a.m. Hey, here's our new head coach. And not a single word had leaked out into the media. Maybe that happens. Who knows? But we'll maybe get into a little bit of that. But I wanted to open up, obviously, with all the Washington football talk. And there's a bunch of other NFL talk that we got to get to. And we'll have some injury updates for you, and maybe we'll let you hear from Ron Rivera, Scott Turner, as the show goes along. If you want to join in at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's the toll-free number on the AAA Always On Call listener line, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. As you could probably tell, I'm a little jacked up for football, right? I know everybody's starting to get excited. You know, again, I don't know how good this football team is going to be. I don't think they're going to be very good, but I think they're going to be very competitive. And I'd be surprised if you get a debacle like you did of epic proportions last year. To me, nothing about this football team screams 3-13. Now, I guess across the board, if you tell me Terry McLaurin and Dwayne Haskins are going to go out for the year in week one, or if they suffer a type of season-ending injury to one of those two guys, and I pretty much include just those two guys because I kind of think they're irreplaceable, and Terry's easy. Dwayne is not as easy. But if you tell me that one or both of those guys go out week one for the season, well, maybe we can get to 3-13, 4-12. But I honestly don't think that this team is as bad as the prognosticators say. Remember, the prognosticators don't really know anything. They don't really know. The boys in Vegas, I try and tell you guys this all the time. You know, the people that set the point spread, the people that make all the predictions, the people that take in all of your money, they know one thing. It's not football. They know how to sucker you. That's how they know and what they know. It's not that they have some secret magical formula to figuring out the NFL or college football or any other sport for that matter. They don't know bupkis, nothing. They know zippity-doo-dah-a, nothing. Nothing. Trust me on that. Nothing. So when they say, well, the Eagles are 6-point favorites, the Washington football team are 6-point dogs. Listen, you might be able to play this tape back on Sunday night and say, boy, Russell, you are an idiot. The Eagles won by 6. You think they actually knew that? You think they actually had any sort of clue other than looking at a couple of numbers that a dummy could look at? You, me, everything in between. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to say, well, based on last year and no preseason games, based on all the questions and the circus that's surrounding the organization, Washington's not as good as Philadelphia. Oh, really? No kidding. And based on the fact that home teams are not traditionally going to get their 2.5-3-point favorite because of the crowd and because of being on the road and all that stuff, well, you take that away, and then you have essentially an Eagles team that's viewed essentially as basically 3 points better than the Washington football team. Now, again, I'm not telling you that the Eagles aren't a better football team. They are. They should be. They've done a better job building their team. Washington has not. Howie Roseman is smart. Even though I didn't love the Carson Wentz trade way back when, and listen, you know, you see some of the benefits of Carson Wentz, obviously, when he's healthy, and then you see, well, exactly my fear when you, when you trade for a quarterback or put your entire franchise's existence, who would do something like that? The Washington football team did something like that once, right? Sorry for my dog. She's getting a little aggravated here. But the point of the matter is the Eagles are a better football team. They are a better football franchise. It has taken the Washington football team all of this time to really and truly, I think, I hope, wake up and realize everything they were doing wrong, was wrong, and everything they were doing was wrong. Okay? That didn't come out the way I wanted it. But you get my point. Everything was wrong. And somehow, some way, they were still mostly competitive up until last year for, what, a 5-year stretch? 2015 through 2018? So I guess 4 years. Right? They were right there. 9-7, 8-8, 8-7-1, 7-9, with a chance to go 8-8. Somehow, some way, Jay Gruden and his staff, which, you know, many people thought was horrible, and this dysfunctional organization, they were right in the thick of things, right in the thick of parody and mediocrity. So now, I think when you have better people, smarter people, more progressive people, people that care, people that, again, are, you know, I guess just better people, and I think that's not to say that everyone that was run out of here is a dumb person, but trust me on this, okay? Trust me on this. They have smarter and better people here. Trust me, they have smarter and better personnel people, especially, I think, on the pro side. I could be wrong on that, but I think Kyle Smith being in charge of personnel in general, Eric Stokes, even though he just got here a month and a half ago, being in charge of pro personnel, again, cleaning out people that were interested more in doing all sorts of crazy things behind the scenes, that's all going to help this football team. And because of that, I don't think this football team is going to be anywhere near as bad as many of the dopey prognosticators say. Now, I get in trouble when I say, oh, you know, I'm going to shave my head. No, I'm not doing that. But I do, I do with every fiber of my being believe this is going to be a minimum 6-win team. And that's not good enough, but a minimum 6-win team. And right now, as I sit here tonight, I think they're going to be a 7-9 football team when it's all said and done. Now, obviously, I can't guarantee that, nor will I. But my point is I think they're going to be a lot better than most people, most pundits, most prognosticators think they're going to be, and maybe many of you fans. And if you think they're going to be a 3 or 2 or 4 win team, I'd love to hear from you as to why you believe that. Or are you with me, which I don't want to say I'm optimistic, I'm rosy, I'm positive. I don't think 7-9 is good. But I think it's better than, I know it's better than 3-13 or 4-12. And I think it's more representative of Ron Rivera, his coaches, and the talent that this team has. So I'll tell you why I think they're going to be 7-9. You tell me why you think they're going to be 3-13, 4-12, or 9-7, whatever you want. Let's start there. Scott Abraham will join us from ABC 7 just after the top of the hour. We'll ask him that. He was on the conference call with Ron Rivera today. We'll tell you what we've been seeing out at practice as the team gets ready for the Philadelphia Eagles with you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Again, on the AAA Always On Call listener line, 800-636-1067. Let's get after it next on The Fan. All right, we're back right here on The Fan. Good to have you with us as we take you up till 9 o'clock tonight. Sean Summers on the, not on the other side of the glass, on the other side of Northern Virginia, I don't know, into D.C., on in our half-street studios, hanging out with us as well. Scott Abraham, ABC7, coming up in just a little bit. And you can as well at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, as we get you set for Sunday's season opener between the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, I know the fan base is just beaten down to no end. I understand the fan base just doesn't, you know, has been down this road before of, oh, excitement and a new start and a fresh change and, you know, a new direction and a new sheriff in town, new soldier in town, you know, all this stuff. I get it. I understand that you guys aren't quite sure how to feel, right? And I understand that, you know, when Mike Shanahan came here 10 years ago, I thought it was going to be different too. And it wasn't. It was for a little while, but it wasn't. And all you can hope for is that while Dan Snyder still has control of this franchise, operating control of this franchise, is that he has made so many mistakes and screwed so many things up that he truly has changed a little bit. And he leaves these people alone. And he stays the bleep out of their way. Period. That's all you can hope for. And we have to trust that he's got to be smarter, I think, 10 years later, or at his age now, what is he, 55 or whatever he is, than he was at 45, right? And certainly at 35. So to me, we can sit here and say, oh, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to improve. It's never going to change. You know, what do you want me to say? I mean, in my heart of hearts, in my gut, do I feel like this is a completely different Dan Snyder and he's truly and genuinely changed and he's truly and genuinely going to let Ron Rivera and his football people do everything and the organization is never going to be a dumpster fire again? No, I can't tell you I believe that. I understand that. Maybe I'm a little bit more numb to it than maybe you are. I don't know. But here's what I know, okay? At least for, I think, right now, and for the short term, and we can all define short term in different ways. At least for right now, I truly believe that Ron Rivera is running the football operation and Dan Snyder is not interfering, obstructing, being a pain in the ass, telling them what to do, how to do it, who to draft, all of that stuff. I truly believe that. Now, I could be naive. I could be a complete dummy here and a complete sucker. I don't think I am. So what I'm asking for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, is to act like, you know what, we're a real football town. Like we still care. Like we still have a burning passion for this team, which I don't sense many people do anymore. I mean, certainly there are small pockets of the fan base that have a burning passion. I got it. You know, your tailgate Ted, your hog farmer Chris's, you know, all great fans, right? I mean, great, great, great fans. I'm not saying nobody does, but when I look around the landscape, I think we can all agree that the dysfunction, the losing, the constant circus has ripped away and shredded the fan base, right? That being said, there are still many people, Disco, you know, all you guys that call me all the time, and I don't mean to leave anybody out. I love y'all, right? I think we can still be a good football town. I think we can still talk good football in this town despite the fear and the anxiety that Dan Snyder's shenanigans and rule still provides and still hovers over any conversation, right? Let's just kind of, I don't want to say move past it. I don't want to say look over it. I just want to say let's kind of inch it off to the side, maybe the side of the road, right? And let's unobstruct the lane. And let's drive and let's go and let's talk and let's be a real football town and let's get fired up for week one of the NFL season. And let's also have a little faith and a little bit of confidence that Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio and all of those coaches and Kyle Smith didn't take this job A, without knowing how big of a mountain they have to climb, and B, also knowing, hey, you know what? We don't have a complete rebuild job here. They actually have some meat on the bone. And arguably, for a 3-13 team, you're never going to find more meat on that bone ever in the history of the NFL, I think. Going from 3-13 to what they are now. Does that mean they're great? No. Does that mean they're really awesome? No. Does that mean that I can think they're going to contend for the playoffs? No. I mean, would I be stunned? I guess not. Would I be surprised? Yes. Do I think it'll happen? No. But that doesn't mean that everything is going to be ruined forever and everything is going to be destroyed forever and that there's never going to be a chance. So let's kind of look into the crystal ball a little bit and say, okay, you know what? We all understand that if Dan gets to be, well, Dan again, that the ship is going down again and, you know, you can make your choice. He may not get that opportunity. Let's put it that way. The NFL may not let him have another opportunity to do that. Okay. So let's move it to the side and let's actually be a good football town and let's actually talk about this football game coming up. Here's one for you before we hit the top of the hour and Scott Abraham, and then we'll grab all your calls on the other side is this. Not only do I think the Washington football team will be 7-9 with a chance at 8-8 this year and will be much better than, again, many of the prognosticators think they will, I think they cover the +6 this Sunday, number one, which means I think it's a close game. And I'm going to go one step further. I think they win. How about that? I think they beat the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday in week one at FedEx Field. I'll tell you why coming up later on in the show. We'll grab all your calls. Sean, do we have time to get a call here, or do we have to go to the top of the hour?
You could take a call here.
Oh, let's do that. Why don't we? Before we get to Scott Abraham, we go to Eddie in Bladensburg on the fan. Good evening, Ed. How are you?
How are you doing?
What's up, Ed?
What's going on? How are you doing?
How you doing? All right?
I'm doing good. I'm actually very pumped up for this Sunday game, and I'm going to tell you why. I actually think the Redskins have a better chance to go 8-8 than a lot of these prognosis people are saying, and what ESPN is giving them one win. NFL Network may be giving them one or two. I think they have a better chance to beat the Eagles. Here's why. The Eagles have a banged-up offensive line. The Redskins, a healthy defensive line right now, especially the front seven. If they can get after the quarterback, if Landon Collins can stop the run, and if they can make it, I know it's going to sound crazy, if they can make the Eagles one-dimensional where you can guess their game, they have a higher chance of winning that game than the Eagles do. So Sean is now going to be there. They're going to rotate Kerrigan and Montez Sweat. I also think the Redskins are going to go 8-8 because I think they can beat the Steelers. You don't know. We don't know where the Steelers are going to be by the time we even play them. Is Big Ben still going to be on the field?
No, it's
are
more than fair.
Are they have their running back on the field?
Yeah.
You know, so we're predicting, right, so we're predicting, a lot of people are predicting 4-12 because they're just looking at the team. They're not realizing that we have COVID going on right now. People can get COVID-19 and have to sit out a week or two. You know, so you just don't know where other teams are going to be, including the Redskins. But let's say we don't endure that COVID thing besides maybe once. Then this team can be 8-8 because you may be playing second-string players. So I think people just need to calm it down. They want us to win right away. I get it. But some people, like you said, they're from the old school or maybe even the new school like myself and really just haven't seen this team do really, really well. And besides saying we're just going to go 4-12, that's all they can think of.
Yeah.
Give the people that are in the building a chance.
I think the easiest thing in the world, Ed, is basically what you're saying is, oh, you know, they were 3-13 last year. Well, you know, there's still questions, you know, across. It's been a terrible offseason. And listen, they ultimately might be right. There were a lot of people that said last year's team was a 3-win team, and I laughed and I snickered at them, and maybe you did too. I can't remember. I'm sure we probably both did it together. And they were right, okay? So I should not be a dummy and go and say, well, you're crazy if you think they're going to win two or three or four games. Because obviously a lot of things can happen, and you just mentioned a bunch of them. All I know is this. What I see in front of my very own eyes and what I feel and what I know is this is not a 3-win team or a 4-win team unless, again, there's just catastrophic injuries early on in the season that rip away at some of the good young talent that this has. We just talked about McLaurin. We talked about Haskins. Obviously, you know, I think they could absorb an injury, a season ender to Chase Young much, much, much easier than they can to Terry McLaurin or Dwayne Haskins. So it as much depends on who it is as what it is. And as long as this team can avoid damage like that, major damage, I know, Ed, I know that they are better than a 3 or 4 win team. It's the question for me becomes is will they have any luck on their side, which they have not had almost really any luck at all.
That's true. And I just wanted to throw this in. Let's not forget that Arizona's still building, even though they'll be better. Let's not forget that Cleveland should have been better. They went forward and then went right back down. That's why I say that this team, in my opinion, I think we have a couple of, you know, what they call them, on the side, not talked about a lot, wide receivers as well. I really think we do. And then I think Steven Spins, I think Logan Thompson is going to be a little good, you know, good tight end to block. I just think we are better than what we were last year by the players that we have now, including Chase Young.
I'm with you. Be safe out there, pal. I appreciate you. Good to hear from you.
You
Ed Lindsberg is a diehard fan, and he always calls and always puts together a good phone call and has plenty of passion, as many of you do out there. And I don't want anybody to get upset with me. I'm just saying, forget about the Dan Snyder stuff. Forget about all the gloom and doom. Let's just evaluate the football team. And I know having no preseason games hurts. Let's just evaluate what you know about the football team. How excited are you? How fired up are you? Or are you just gloom and doom because you hear everybody talk about, well, they don't have this and they don't have that and they don't. And I understand some of that. I get it. But I think the people that are saying that also aren't watching the same team and studying this team like I am. And maybe I'm rosy and optimistic a little bit too much. But the bottom line is I think I know what I'm talking about. And I think I've been right much more than I've been wrong. So, you know, to me, when I say they're a 7-win team, I don't say that just to get calls. I say that because I believe it. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. More of your calls coming up. But Scott Abraham, ABC7, great sports anchor there, joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on what to expect from the Washington football team this week and this year. We'll do that next right here on The Fan. All right, a good Wednesday evening to you all. We welcome you back, one and all, on this rainy Wednesday evening in the nation's capital and beyond, right here on The Fan. I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster, the radio.com app, and thefandc.com/listen is ways you can listen. And as well, one of the ways that you can spend your evenings is at 9 o'clock for Toyota Sports Talk and on ABC7 at various different times. He's always lighting up the television screen. He's a good looking, dapper man myself. I'm so envious of how good looking he is. I'm going to make him feel real awkward and uncomfortable as we welcome on Scott Abraham from ABC7 right here on The Fan. How hard is it to be so good looking, Abes?
Rooster, I mean, I appreciate the introduction. I just wish I did the same for you last night on my show, but I appreciate you having me on. Good to talk some football here.
Absolutely. No, I mean, obviously, I didn't want that introduction because it's not true. It's not true. For you, you light up the television screen. But seriously, thanks for having me last night. Obviously, you know I'm a big fan. You can follow Scott if you're not already doing so, at ScottABC7, at ScottABC7. You can watch him, you know, of course, on ABC7 and ABC7, ABC247, I should say, on Toyota Sports Talk, 9 o'clock weeknights, and WJLA.com. All right, now that we got all of that out of the way, before we get actually into the game, I wanted to ask, you had an interesting question to Ron Rivera today, and I thought he gave you a really good answer. For those that didn't get to hear it, you know, can you kind of sum up what you asked and what he answered? Because I thought it was good.
Yeah, so basically it was the very last question of the Zoom press conference, and I kind of jumped in because I thought he would give a nice emotional response. And I just basically asked Coach Rivera, because we're a couple days away from the season opener, and there's just been so much going on in the offseason in terms of COVID-19, all the difficult news surrounding the organization, the organizational changes, his personal cancer diagnosis. And I was just curious what he thought his emotions would be like on the sidelines on Sunday, given the fact this is such a unique season, a unique off season. And he gave a big gasp at the very beginning, and he said, finally, finally we have football. Finally we have some normalcy. Finally we can all just play the game that we love, the passion that we love, and kind of, you know, not necessarily forget about what happened, but kind of move forward and get the season going. So there was almost a sense of relief that I got from his response.
Yeah, and I thought he digged a little bit deeper there with his emotion than normally he answers questions. And that's not to say he isn't good at answering questions, but I thought you could tell it meant something extra special to him with all of those challenges. And now, you know, again, obviously the big challenge that he's dealing with. As much greater to do than the football team name or Dan Snyder and whether or not he's going to be the owner here. No, it's his life and cancer.
It's just, you know, I look at Ron Rivera. He got here in January, Rooster. I mean, look at all the things he had to deal with just off the football field, not even worrying about the X's and O's and fielding a good, solid football team. He had so many off-the-field issues he had to deal with. He was a spokesman for a lot of these issues, and then he got dealt this cancer blow. But, you know, I talked to Chuck Pagano, actually, last week. And obviously, for your listeners that don't know, Chuck Pagano, former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, he beat leukemia. And nobody knows what Ron Rivera is going to be going through like Chuck Pagano, because he went through it. And it was very interesting to get that perspective. And he says if there's a guy that can handle this, it's Ron Rivera. He's that fighting spirit. He's a football guy, to its core. He's used to fights. He's used to battles in the trenches. And this is just another fight he has to deal with.
No doubt. And he's the right guy to lead this mess of an organization out of the mess. Because, you know, when Mike Shanahan, Scott, I was talking about this earlier, and I know you weren't here in 2010 when Mike Shanahan came in. And, you know, a lot of people were jazzed. Oh, two-time Super Bowl. Mike Shanahan was a really good football coach, right? And if they would have just let him do his thing, he would have been, I think he would have been successful. But Mike Shanahan, and this is, and I love Mike, this is not to downgrade, he's not the same person Ron Rivera is. So maybe Ron Rivera might not be as good of a football coach as Bill Belichick or even Mike Shanahan in his heyday or maybe some of the others, but I know he's a good football coach, and I also know he's a better person. And I think that counts for something much more in 2020 than maybe it even did in 2010 or 2005 or whatever. Do you buy into that theory that a better person can maybe help shape what kind of mess he has to shape here in Washington?
Chris, I've only gotten to know Ron for a few months, and this organization better thank their lucky stars that they have a man like Ron Rivera in that building. It is so refreshing to hear from him in the Zoom press conference. This might be a little thing, Rooster, but I don't know if you've noticed. He addresses every reporter by name during the answer. It's the details. It's the little things that shows that he cares. And that's just such a difference maker. Maybe it's a small thing for us media members, but you know he's going to be detail-oriented, and he's going to care within those walls in the building in Ashburn and his football team in that locker room. And it's night and day. You know, I had nothing against Jay Gruden in that regime, but it is night and day to what the culture and just that feeling you get, you know, when you're at practice, when you're talking on these Zoom interviews, that he's really going to put this franchise in the right direction.
No doubt. Scott Abraham, ABC7 with us. Make sure you check him out. Again, ABC7. I'm sorry, Scott ABC7. I always get these Twitter handles all screwed up. Everybody's got a little bit of a different thing. At Scott ABC7. And, of course, watch him on ABC7 and Toyota Sports Talk at 9 o'clock nightly. All right, so let's get to this. Of course, Dwayne Haskins is the starting quarterback. We all know that. How good do you think he's going to be, Scott, this year? Or do you think that this is going to be like another uneven year, kind of like last year when he struggled at the start but then made some progress towards the end?
I think Dwayne's going to be better. I think there's going to be progress. There's going to be growth. But my biggest concern is, and maybe Dwayne doesn't have control of this, is the offensive line. If he's running for his life, if he doesn't have time in the pocket, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make negative plays, and that's my biggest concern when I look at this football team in terms of that left side of the offensive line. If that's his blind side, and if that left tackle spot, whoever may be, you know, Jaron Christian and whoever, that's my big concern, because if Dwayne doesn't have time and if Dwayne is rushing, negative plays are going to happen. With that being said, I like what I've seen from Dwayne Haskins so far. He looks good in training camp. He's obviously put in the work in the offseason, losing, you know, 7% body fat, dropping some pounds. He was just named a captain tonight. Obviously, those are all good things. But when it comes to game action and the lights are on, that's when we're going to know how much progress was made from year one to year two. Week one against the Eagles will be a great test. Obviously, they have a great defensive front. Fletcher Cox, they're going to put some pressure on Dwayne. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles, you know, transitioning from training camp and going against his guys to against an NFC East rival.
What do you feel really good about for this football team? I mean, I guess the easy answer is the defensive line, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is going to be really good. But maybe besides that, is there anything that you feel really good about?
I'm excited about the growth of Troy Apke. I think he's been a star in training camp again. Prove it to me on the field on Sundays. It's one thing to do well against your guys. It's another thing to succeed on Sundays when the spotlight's on. You mentioned the defensive front. I think they're going to be one of the top defensive lines in the league. I love that front seven. They're young. They're aggressive. And in terms on the offensive side of the football, they didn't really address too much in the offseason in terms of getting more weapons for Dwayne Haskins, upgrading that offensive line. I'm excited to see what Terry McLaurin does from year one to year two. Obviously, a lot of hype surrounding this young man. But I want to keep your eye on Steven Sims Jr. I think he could be a breakout candidate, maybe like a Jameson Crowder type guy, where he's going to get those possession receivers, move the chains, you know, the slot type guy, return specialist. I like what Steven Sims Jr. brings to the table, and I think he could be a great piece to this offense as we go forward.
Scott Abraham from ABC7 and Toyota Sports Talk with us here on The Fan, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. How much do you think the craziness, the turmoil of the offseason, and it has been as crazy as ever, and then the ongoing, you know, like every week, I'm sure there's going to be some new development in the Dan Snyder lawsuits and the investigation, and who knows when that's going to drop. How much do you think that will factor and affect the actual football product? A big deal or not really a big effect?
I don't think it's going to be that big of an impact as maybe people will think. Obviously, part of football is the mental aspect and the emotional aspect. It's going to be hard to ignore if more information comes out, if there's more of the investigation, if there's more with team owner Daniel Snyder. You're not going to be able to ignore that. But you do have a leader in Ron Rivera who can steer you in the right direction. You do have some leaders on that football team like a Ryan Kerrigan, you know, or Brandon Scherff, or the captains that were named that can, you know, really kind of set the course of how you're going to handle it, how you're going to approach it. And at the end of the day, it's still football. It's still, you know, between the lines, you know, tackle football. And I think for the most part, it should not impact too much their play on the field. Obviously, it'll be annoying answering questions from us regarding the situation or more information that comes about. But I don't think it's going to be that too big of an impact in terms of wins and losses on the field.
You know, for all the controversy, I my sense is, and being on all of these, pretty much all of these Zoom calls, there hasn't been as much of the ask the players stuff as I thought there was going to be, which is a good thing. I think that's a really good thing for these players if that trend continues. One last one, and we'll let you out of here. Scott Abraham, ABC7 with us. So I was saying that, you know, I think I said this with you. I think they've got a good chance to win this Sunday. I think I even said that on your show yesterday.
Yes.
And I think they're going to be 7-9. I think they're going to be a better team than most prognosticators think. Where are you kind of sitting right now on the eve of the NFL season?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that high. That'd be a huge jump from 3 wins to 7 wins. I'm gonna go in between that. I think they're gonna be a six win football team. You know, it's still a tough schedule. They still have difficult games. Again, I want to see if Dwayne Haskins can really. The defense is gonna. They're gonna keep them in the game. The defense is gonna keep them in the game. I love Jack Del Rio. I love the kind of mentality, the culture he's brought to that defensive end. It's gonna be up the offense. I'm very concerned about the offense. They had trouble scoring points last year. They didn't really address anything with the offense in the offseason, and they may struggle again scoring points. So I think the defense is going to be better. You mentioned on my show last night the special teams, probably one of the best special team units in the league. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to the offense. Can they muster enough points to get these extra 2 or 3 wins to get them to maybe 6 or 7 wins that you're expecting?
Let's be competitive. That's all I ask for, and let's be halfway decent. At Scott ABC7, hopefully it's not a tire fire all year long, and we can enjoy a little good NFL football. My friend, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Always great to be on with you, and thanks for coming on the show tonight. Where can fans watch you tonight? You're working tonight, right?
Well, funny you mentioned, we actually have an NFL special tonight at 8 p.m. on ABC7. So it's an hour-long special.
Nice.
We're going to be focusing on the Washington football team, maybe even do a little Ravens team up north. So it's an hour-long special. Great interviews, great insight, a great analysis. So it'll be in about 40 minutes on ABC7.
8 to 9 on ABC7. Watch Scott and the crew with their NFL special. So good timing on that. I'm glad I asked. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you, buddy.
I know. I appreciate that.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Bruce.
That's Scott Abraham. Again, watch their NFL special at 8 o'clock tonight on ABC7 and Toyota Sports Talk nightly on ABC 24/7. There you go with that. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll grab your call. So again, I don't want to say I'm feeling froggy about the Washington football team at 7-9. That's ridiculous, right? But I do feel like, I mean, you just heard Scott say, ooh, yeah, 3-7 is a big, I don't think that's that big of a jump. Like, I'd be surprised if this team doesn't at least double their wins this year. Obviously, if I think they're going 7-9, right? From 3-13. 3-13 is really bad. It's really hard to be that bad. Especially when you have this kind of talent. And they have more talent this year than they did last year. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Your calls, your thoughts next on The Fan. All right, good to have you back with us right here on The Fan. On a Wednesday evening, no Nats tonight. We'll take you up till 9 o'clock. I'm Chris Russell. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll get out to Jamie in just a sec. But if you want to hop on in, 800-636-1067. Am I crazy for thinking the Washington football team is a 7-9 team? I don't think even if you think they're going to be terrible, you could say I'm crazy, because it's not like I'm picking them to go 9-7 or 10-6 or 11-5 or anything like that. To me, that would be crazy and irresponsible, right? Listen, I'd love for them to be able to be that good once in my life covering this football team so that I could actually, you know, like cover a good football team instead of backdoor magic carpet riding, you know, basically, taking advantage of a bad division like they did in 2015 and even to some degree in 2012 as well. And again, going on one of those magic carpet rides where just everything kind of falls into place in the last month of the season after being basically a poop show, for much of the season. And somehow they get in by the thinnest of margins, and then they have a home playoff game, and then they lose. And in some of those years, the franchise quarterback rips up his knee and, he's never the same again. So, you know, we sit here and we say, okay, if they were a 3-13 team last year, what is reasonable, right? And you just heard Scott say, oh, you know, like, I don't, 7-9, that's a little too high for my blood. And he was like, well, 5-11, 6-10. And I think that's more realistic, probably, than 7-9. And my hope is that somehow, some way, they can scratch out 8-8. Maybe I'm putting a little too much faith in the defense, in the defensive line, in special teams, in Ron Rivera, in the running back situation. Of course they're screwed, yes, if Terry McLaurin goes out week one, week two, week three, whatever, and misses much of the season. Of course they are. They're kind of screwed too if Dwayne Haskins goes out early. Not as screwed as they are if McLaurin goes out early, but they are screwed because, quite honestly, guys, you know, listen, Kyle Allen, I know he started 11 games, but there was a reason why he was undrafted. He's inaccurate. He's mobile. He's inaccurate. And he gets sacked a ton. Kyle Allen's not winning a lot of games here. Just not. As a matter of fact, if Dwayne Haskins goes out for any period of time and say we're week two, week three, week four area, I'm willing to bet that it would probably be Alex Smith. I don't know that for sure, but I'm willing to bet it. I mean, A, Alex Smith is the better quarterback. And B, like, he might not have as much mobility as Kyle Allen, but again, I think he's just as smart. I think he's a great leader, obviously, a shining example of what you can be. And I think he's an inspirational force that might be able to say, guys, look at what we can do here. Look at what I've done. Look at what we can do together. That type of thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overestimating that. I don't know. But the bottom line is, I would feel much, much, much worse if they lost Terry McLaurin. And that's why season projections are so hard to make and so hard to be accurate with, right? Because I have no idea. I mean, when you woke up yesterday morning, everybody thought Von Miller's going to be there for the Denver Broncos, right? By last night, you put your head on the pillow and Von Miller's out for the season. I mean, how do you know what's going to happen? You don't. right? So as we sit here right now, I think this team has better talent than a lot of people think it does. I think this team is better than a lot of people think it is. I think this team is going to be more disciplined and more even in their performance. I don't think you're going to get these huge swings like you got under Jay Gruden, where, you know, they would win a game that nobody picked them to win, and then they would lose a game. You know, they couldn't handle success. I would say this all the time, that they were not good at handling prosperity. They were terrible at handling prosperity for the most part. And they would usually respond when they got kicked in the teeth on a regular basis. Usually. Not all the time, but usually. I think this team will handle prosperity better. I don't know about great, but better. I think this team will also be much more even in terms of performance. Like, one of the hallmarks of the Jay Gruden era was come out like a house on fire, right? For the most part. You know, go toe-to-toe with somebody. Offense looks good. Defense is three and out. You know, jumping around. And then by the middle, late part of the second quarter, and in the second half, middle, third part, part of the third quarter, whatever it was, sometimes from the start, they would be sucking wind. They would be out of gas. They would be so shot that they couldn't do what they did in the first half, in the first quarter, quarter and a half, whatever. And then they would lose because they couldn't sustain it. They couldn't sustain the momentum. They couldn't sustain their play. Probably because they didn't work hard enough, because they were too busy playing ping pong and jumping on people's backs and grabbing nipples of the coach. None of that here. This team is going to be more even in their performance. All right, 800-636-1067. I tell you what, Jamie, hang on. I'm going to get to you right away on the other side. It'll be a quick break, I promise. And we'll get to more of your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Bottom of the hour right here on The Fan. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us on a Wednesday night. All right, we are 1 hour in the books, still another hour and a half or so. We'll take you up till 9 o'clock tonight here, Overtime on The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we'll have Nationals Braves baseball for you beginning at 5:30. First pitch at 6:05, and then we'll join the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL season opener in progress when the Nationals and Braves coverage wraps up. And we'll have all-day coverage for you on Sunday with Earl Forsey's countdown to kickoff, and Logan Paulson will be a part of the coverage, and Pete, and I'll be at FedEx Field, so we'll have a good time there, hopefully talking about a Washington football team win. All right, let's get back to the calls. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on the AAA. Always on call listener line. That's how you can get aboard. If you want to tweet me, it's at WrestleMania621. Let's go to Jamie in D.C. has been patiently waiting on hold. Then we'll get to Jonathan in Fairfax. Jamie, how are you? Thanks for hanging in there. What's going on?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good, Jamie. What's going on?
So I was calling because I've been listening all day just because I like to hear what the opinions of the fans are. Before the game, this is my thing. In 2012, I know that RG3 was like real hope for us, and I'm not comparing him to Dwayne Haskins, but if you really look back on that team that was around RG3 as far as like the weapons, I mean, I know that we're going to march the wide receiver Dante Iman out there. Don, but, I mean, the second receiver that year.
Yeah, Dontrell Inman.
Dontrell Inman, sorry. Yeah,
that's right.
But can you say that he's, I mean, you know, our second receiver then was Josh Morgan. So I look at the team, and I think that the defense now is far better than, at least especially up front, far better than that team in 2012. And I know what you're saying about like the Magic Carpet ride, and was that team built to, you know, to sustain success, especially after RG3 tore his knee. But I definitely err on the side of 7-9, 8-8. And I've been saying that all offseason, And I know, again, I'm with you, and people sound crazy, but there's no way that I can see this team going 3-13, like you, unless it's with a catastrophic injury, like you said.
I mean, you don't think that that's being unreasonable right now. I will caution you. There was no chance that I believed last year's team was going to be 3-13 either. So, I mean, I was saying the same thing at this point last year, and I was wrong. But I would also say that they had, you know, that was based on, quite honestly, Dwayne Haskins being the number three quarterback. I really thought Case Keenum would be a pretty good quarterback, a hold the fort type of quarterback. He just couldn't stay healthy, which, again, anybody that comes here seems to not be able to stay healthy, especially at the quarterback position, except for the guy that they chased and couldn't stand in Kirk Cousins, and most of the fan base couldn't stand. You know, that's the only quarterback that's ever been able to stay healthy here, quite honestly.
Good point. I agree. I just, like I said, unless you lose one of those guys, I mean, to your point, I didn't see last year going 3-13 either. I'm not saying, I don't know if I felt as good as about the team last year going 8-8 or 7-9. Just because I don't even really chase, I don't even really like, you know, get caught up on the record. The thing I always wanted to see in the Redskins, I'm 28 years old. I've been watching since I was a kid. The thing I've always wanted to see as somebody, you know, as a former football player, like, I just always wanted to see growth. So even if we went 3-13, at the end of the season, can you say that it was a competitive 3-13? We hung on, you know, in every game, just, you know, the ball just bounced the other way. And, you know, like, it's a 3-13 where it's like, well, if they had it went that way, it could, you know, could have been different. But this thing with all the national people think, you know, just saying, oh, it's going to be blown out of every game, and the 6-point underdog. I also am on the side of, that we can beat Philly. You know, and I know that they're a better team, and people say they're a better team, but I really think that we can beat them too with the beat up offensive line that they have. And, it's been proven when you get a hat on Carson Wentz that you can disrupt his game just like any other quarterback.
Exactly. So it's a really smart call, and I appreciate you making it, and I'm glad you got in because you made a lot of good points. So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, again, for this game this Sunday, obviously the Washington football team has to dominate at the line of scrimmage with the defensive line. We all understand that. What I'm most curious to see is how aggressive Jack Del Rio gets from other areas. Does he blitz corners? Does he blitz safeties? Because I think there's going to be much more of that, because I think they trust their guys on the back end a lot more, number one. And I think without the preseason and without showing a lot of that last year, there isn't a lot of tape. So you take advantage of an offensive line that is, again, torn and tattered and beat up, and you try and do it not just by overwhelming them at the point of attack with Allen and Daron Payne and Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Maybe you don't have to do all this stuff, but if they need it in a big spot, I think you're going to see a safety blitz from Landon Collins. I think you're going to see a corner blitz from maybe the slot, you know, and maybe Kendall Fuller, if he even plays, who knows if he's going to play, or Jimmy Moreland or something like that. That's what I'm kind of intrigued by, because I do think you can rattle Carson Wentz and this Philadelphia offensive line. Now, the problem with that is if you get too over aggressive, obviously they can hurt you as they did in that week one matchup with Deshaun Deep. The thing that I would counter that by saying is I have much more faith in this secondary than I ever did at any point last year. I mean, everybody knows that I thought Josh Norman was a total fraud. And the only reason why people in the media liked him was because he would talk. That was it. I mean, I didn't care about that. Like, Josh Norman, total fraud. And nobody liked him in the building. And he wasn't a good teammate, and he wasn't a good player. And Monte Nicholson was horrible too. So I feel so much better about this secondary, in addition to adding Chase Young, in addition to adding, okay, he's probably not going to play early on in the season, but maybe at some point, James Smith Williams. In addition to adding, you know, Thomas Davis to the linebacking core, and Kevin Pierre-Louis, who a lot of people didn't think would be anything more than a special teamer, and maybe the Washington football team is overrating him. All I know is the guy has balled out in camp, and Jack Del Rio talks about him every chance he gets. You know, so if speed and athleticism gets you somewhere, well, then he's going to help them because they've never had enough team speed. And this team will have to win games more on special teams and defense. I think we all know that. But it's not like this offense is completely inept. It's not like this offense can't press the Eagles a little bit. They have Darius Slay, and they have a bunch of question marks. They cut half their secondary. Their starting safety, or their projected starting safety, is out. I mean, like, this isn't a great defense, in my opinion. I mean, it's good with Fletcher Cox and the boys up front. They might be missing Hargrave, who was out of practice today, who's dealing with a couple of different injuries. I don't think this is a great defense that you can't move the football against. The big thing will be in the red zone. Do you turn the ball over? Do you settle for three instead of seven? Can you punch a couple in, right? Can you actually convert on third down? Like, all of these questions, all of these things that I'm going over, I don't think they can get any worse. That's why I'm kind of bullish. Hey, if bullish is seven wins, I guess. All right, more of your calls coming up. We will get to, who will we get to? Jonathan in Fairfax. Can we do that now, or do we need to take a break? You want to do it now? All right, let's go to Jonathan in Fairfax now, and then we'll take our break a little bit late. What's up, John? How are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Hope you and the family are doing well.
Doing excellent good.
Coverage as always.
Thank you, John. Yes, hope you are doing well as well.
Yeah, I'm doing well and looking forward to the football season with my fantasy team, and, you know, my survivor pool and whatnot. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan, but look, the truth of the matter is what the Redskins have is a lot of talent, and they have the right kind of coaching with guys like Del Rio, and Rivera has a very good track record. And what they seem to have, and you listen to some of these guys, you know it better than I, and so it's Scott Abraham, but they seem to have guys who are hungry, out to prove themselves. You just mentioned they got rid of Nicholson and the other cancer, Norman. So what they really have is guys from also colleges that are used to winning, from Alabama, mm-hmm. Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Sheriff from Iowa. You know, winning Penn State, I think, is where Apke went. So you've got guys from winning programs. They don't want to, you know, 3-13 leaves a bad taste in your mouth as a professional. And most of the guys seem like they're young enough to where they're, you know, they don't have a lot of older veterans. So to me, like you're saying, this is a perfect time for a good run toward 500, and, you know, you try and hopefully build on that.
Yeah. Now,
what do you
think? Now, one thing I would say, Jonathan, I mean, I don't think the coaching's dead. Like, they'll never admit this on the surface, right, or on the record. And I'm not even saying they've admitted it privately. They haven't, to my knowledge. But I don't think they think they're a 9, 10, 11-win type team, right? I think they showed that by the type of additions they made or didn't make this offseason. Now, I know they went hard after Amari Cooper. I got it. I understand that. Some of that was because of, A, the talent, and, B, some of that was also to hurt the Dallas Cowboys, too. All right, they didn't get him, so then they pulled the guns back, right, and they didn't really shoot, if you will, the rest of the way. And maybe that's a bad analogy, all things considered, but you got my point, right? I don't think they think they are more than a 500-ish type team, give or take, you know, one game here, one game there. I mean, a lot of these games go down to the final minute, one possession. Who knows if you just execute a little bit better, not only in the end, but if you, for crying out loud, if you execute a little bit crisper on the first drive of the third quarter, maybe you don't need a touchdown on the final drive. Maybe you only need a field goal. I think there's going to be a sense of urgency. I think there's going to be a sense of discipline. That doesn't mean they won't take penalties and make stupid mistakes, but I think there'll be a lot less of it. I think there will be a sense of urgency and a sense of, hey, guys, we control some of the things that we are missing, some of the things that have gone on here. And we might not control necessarily having as much talent as San Francisco or Arizona or Cleveland or Baltimore or any of these teams that they're going to face. But we control some of the things that has shot this team in their foot over the years. And that is effort, mm-hmm. hustle, paying attention to details, keeping up a constant, a constant push, if you will, a constant effort level instead of letting it dip off big time in the second half of the season or in the second half of games. So I think that's going to, you know, equal out to some things here.
I think also, I think you'll get a better effort out of the team coming out of the locker room at halftime, because I think the messaging will be a little more crisp, and I think the second half of games will be interesting to watch. And then you mentioned the second half of the season, that three-game road trip to Dallas at Thanksgiving and then Pittsburgh, San Francisco, if they win a game there, or even two, I mean, that would be fantastic, and that would kind of help them build toward the end of the season. And you know, I think the Redskins, all in all, have a lot to think very positively about for the future.
Yeah.
I mean, they have talent, and they're going to go places. And if Haskins really shows himself to be a real talent this year, the Redskins are. With a bright future, I'll say that.
And here's the other thing. I'll button this up on the other side. Jonathan, as always, I appreciate the phone call. Always good to hear from you, and I appreciate your note the other day. I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you. It's just been kind of crazy, but John is always good to me. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate everyone obviously calling in. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. If you want to hop in, if you want to grab a vine, roam out, we will take your calls right here in the jungle. But we will come back, and I'll give you a reason why. If they can be 7-9, 8-8 somehow this year, then, you know, regardless of everything else going on around the organization, the future is so optimistic in terms of 2021. And I'll tell you why, because I've got some really cool details for you that I will spin forward right here on the radio on the Fan on a Wednesday night. All right, we wrap up this hour here with just a couple of more minutes. We still have another hour to go along with Sean Summers, who's back in our D.C. Half Street Studios. I'm Chris Russell. Thanks for being with us right here on Overtime on the Fan, the radio.com app, and as well thefandc.com/listen. So here's the thing that I wanted to get to about the optimistic future that I have. Somehow, again, some way, maybe by the grace of the football gods, this team's 8-8 this year, right? Again, I think 7-9. I think that's fair. I've thought long and hard about it. I have no control over it, but I think 7-9 is fair. Again, is it likely? Probably not, but I think it's fair. If they could somehow go 7-9, 8-8, and especially if the arrow is kind of pointing up at the end of the season, but here's the thing. Like, I don't want them to go 1-8 out of the chute, and then the games don't mean anything, and then they start playing well. Like, I want it to be a 7-9, 8-8, even if it's 6-10, and where, you know, they're kind of going back and forth, and, you know, there's some moments when the games really mean. Like, I don't care what you do when you're eliminated. Like, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, you know? I've got to see it when the games mean something, really mean something. That doesn't mean that you can't accomplish anything when the games don't mean anything, but I need to see it when the games really matter. So I don't want them to go, you know, 0-5 out of the chute, 1-8 out of the chute, and then, oh yeah, we finished 7-9, great, and the arrow's looking up, and you know, and maybe there'll be some optimism because of that. I'm sure there will be. But that's not good enough. So I'd rather them be 7-9 and, you know, like, okay, they just ran out of gas in certain games against better teams. You know, whether it be at San Francisco, at Arizona, at Cleveland, week two, week three, against Baltimore, you know, whatever. That's okay. That's understandable. They're not as good as those teams. They're not as good, quite honestly. But you got to beat one of them, and damn it, you got to win a division game. Enough of this nonsense. But here's the thing that I wanted to get to. If somehow they're 7-9, 8-8, whatever, and they're competitive and they're feisty and there's something to feel proud about. Do you know in 2021, when right now, as we speak, There's a projected salary cap of about $176 million, where normally, based on the usual year-over-year increase, the cap would be right around 208, 209, 210, somewhere in that range. So we're talking about, you know, we're talking about approximately $35 million potentially less in 2021 per team. Do you know that, assuming that the Washington football team doesn't blow the roughly 25-ish million dollars that they still have remaining under the cap right here, right now, and assuming that, again, they don't blow that, and assuming that the cap is still, again, goes as low as 176 and not way lower than that, even with all of that, the Washington football team could have $70 million in cap space. And if the cap is not 176 and it's 186, then they'll have 80. And vice versa, you know, of course, right on down the line. What I'm saying is, while the rest of the NFL is going to get right now a projected haircut of, based on what they were figuring, at least $30 million, maybe 35, 36, 37, depending on how the final numbers shake out. While the rest of the NFL is dealing with that and trying to overcome that, the Cowboys and big spending teams, all that, the Washington football team is going to have so much capital to improve their football team in year two of Ron Rivera, and hopefully a normal offseason or whatever normal would qualify as, they're going to have so much money. Again, upwards of $70 million in cap space. And that's, again, considering a roughly $35-plus million shortfall under the projections from where the 2021 cap was supposed to be to where it might be. $70-plus million worth of cap space. Again, be feisty, be competitive as bleep this year. Finish 7-9 for me. Give me 8-8 if everything breaks right. I'm good with that as long as you're competitive all the way throughout and not starting off 0-7. And then we're going shopping, baby, in the 2021 offseason with 70-ish million dollars while everyone else has to get a major trip. All right, so that's why I'm kind of confident. We'll have a final hour of power right here on the fan. I want to get to a game-by-game prediction that one of my guys from SI.com wrote recently, and it's really good. Plus, Rick Snyder, who, of course, does the FanDC.com and also writes for me at SI, has his position-by-position report cards. I want to get into some of that. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. We'll do a couple of things on the Nationals and the Caps, maybe in the back part of this hour, coming up right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.